You know, I was often challenged by Jeremiah because he was a shy man like me. And if you read the first chapter, he says, Lord, I'm so young, how can you ask me to speak? No, he says, you will speak, I will send and I will be with you. And so Jeremiah was a great favorite of mine. He was persecuted and all that. And the Lord said to me, you shall not take a wife for yourself, nor have sons or daughters in this place. And I really felt the Lord was speaking to me. That was my daily portion. I didn't just choose a chapter. I'd go chapter by chapter, chapter. That day was Jeremiah 16. I said, sure, Lord. I thought about it. Fine. I was a young man, full of the passions of youth. And the Lord says, never get married. I said, okay, I won't get married. And I really decided I will not get married. I was in the Navy. I had no plans at that time to leave the Navy, and God had not called me yet. And because I was at a very attractive job, and I was a born-again Christian, there were other born-again Christian families, number of them, who wanted their daughters to marry me. I got proposals. I would say, I'm sorry, I'm not getting married. Very easy. I didn't even have to think about it. I didn't even have to say, I'll pray about it. God's already spoken to me. Sorry. Rejected. Not, she's a very good girl, but God's told me not to get married. And all my time in the Navy, I didn't waste my time looking at girls. Is that the girl for me? You know how people go to a church and they're always wondering, that sister, is that the one for me? I didn't have that problem at all. Because I was not to be married. And I could spend all my time concentrated on studying the Bible. That's how I study the Bible. I had no distractions, no girlfriends, nobody to even think of as a possible wife. And then one day God called me to leave the Navy. And I left my job. 1966, I was 26 years old. And by the time I had such a gift God had given me through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that I was preaching to 5,000 people and they wanted to hear me again and again. I was only 24 years old, 26 years old when I left. And then I thought I'd leave the Navy. Nobody would be interested in marrying me now. I was bald and many disqualifications and no salary. I refused to take a salary from anybody. That's it. In the eyes of others, jobless and not in a respectable Christian denomination. I was in a group that was not very respected of believers, mostly all poor people in our churches. But all of a sudden I found, as I spoke in these big conventions and conferences, that some Christian parents wanted me to marry their daughter. Oh, this guy is going to be a famous preacher. Let's get our daughter to marry him. You know, naval officers and famous preachers are all attractive to people. And I said, Lord, I'm so weak. I don't know when I'll fall. Please protect me. How shall I save myself now? And then I met Annie. And a wholehearted Christian who, the thing that attracted me about her was not that she was a doctor. I said, I don't care for doctors or income. She went to work among lepers. From the top medical college in India, graduate and go to work among lepers, and all the rest were going to America to become doctors there. Almost everybody in her class went off to America. She went to work among lepers. I said, wow. I said, if I ever marry anyone, that's the type of person I want to marry, who cares for the poor and the weak. And the lepers are the lowest in India. And she was the first lady doctor who went there. I said, Lord, well, you told me not to marry, so I've got to forget about it. And then you know what the Lord told me? Go and read that verse again. Okay. I went back to Jeremiah 16, verse 2. You shall not take a wife for yourself, nor have sons or daughters in this place, in the Navy. Aha. It's amazing how the Lord did not make me blind to those last three words for all those years. And the Lord made me blind to those last three words so that I would never think of marriage when I was in the Navy. It's amazing. You know how the Lord hides something from us? I'm giving you my honest testimony. I'm not trying to say something spectacular. This is the absolute honest truth. Some of the things that God does for us are spectacular. I've experienced that in my life. It's sometimes unbelievable when God does such things. And so sure enough, the Lord led us to get married, and I saw that God had a plan. Now when I look back, we've been married 54 years, and someone who's completely one with me and was willing to give up her profession in order to help the poor. That's what we've done. She's never earned 1 cent as a doctor. She spent all her life as a mother, and she's helped the poor, of course, but never earned any money. Helped hundreds of people medically, still doing it even today. But not for money. And I saw that as I look back now, that God had a plan in all these things. But I had to die completely to my choices, my preferences. So I see in the cross, I was telling you that some people have seen only one thing in the cross. Jesus died to forgive my sins. That's where we begin. But the next thing the Lord showed me was Romans chapter 6, where he showed me them. So I just want to quickly tell you 4 things that I saw in the cross. Very quickly, you can meditate on it later. Number one, that Christ died for our sins. We all know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. Very simple. That's the elementary kindergarten stuff. 1 Corinthians 15:3. Christ died for my sins. You start there. Then the next thing the Lord showed me was Romans 6. Do you know what baptism means? That we were Romans 6:3, we were baptized into Christ and baptized into his death. And so the baptism, when we are put into the water, we are buried with him through baptism. So the water baptism is a symbol of my being crucified with Christ. And come out of the water means raised up again. So that's the other meaning of the cross. That means when Jesus died, as it says here in verse 6, my old man was crucified with him. Not only he died for my sins, that's number one. Something else happened. The old man, this man that wants to sin, this thing I was born with, inherited from Adam, was crucified with Christ. I believe that 90% of believers haven't even seen this. It really changed their life if they see it. Just like, think if a nominal Christian one day really sees, my sins were taken by Christ on the cross. I was a nominal Christian for 19 and a half years. I didn't go around committing sin, but I was not born again. Till one day I saw Jesus died for my sins. First step. And I was forgiven. That's how all of you were born again. Before that, you were just a namesake Christian. So exactly like that. Second step. I never knew that my old man was crucified with Christ. Just like that nominal Christian has not accepted Christ. And so he's not born again, even though he believes all these truths intellectually. I never saw that my old man was crucified with Christ, because he says, if you recognize this, so that, listen to this, your old man is crucified with Christ, Romans 6:6, so that this body of sin might be done away with, so that we will not serve sin anymore for the rest of our life. That I will not be a slave to sin. I was a slave to sin. Sin said, get angry, I would get angry. Sin said, cheat there a little bit, you can make a little more money. I did it in my unconverted days. Sin said, think that dirty thought, I would think a dirty thought. I was an absolute slave to sin, just like all of you were. When that man argues with you, argue him back and defeat him in that argument. That's what sin kept telling me, and I was an absolute slave to sin. But here it says you will never be a slave to sin once you understood the second truth. The first truth delivered me from condemnation. Oh, my sins are not forgiven. I knew I was forgiven, but I was defeated. The second truth is to deliver me from the slavery to sin. That when sin tells me to get angry, I don't get angry. That when sin tells me to think a dirty thought, I don't get a dirty thought. That when sin tells me to argue with that man and win the argument, I say no. No longer a slave to sin. Buried with Christ. Completely underground, under the water rather. That is baptism. And the power of the Holy Spirit raised Jesus up and the anointing came upon him. John the Baptist lifted him up and the Holy Spirit lifts me up from that. He won't lift you up unless you go down fully. If you got a little bit above the water, nothing will happen. You got to go right down. And you got to search your own heart and see if everything in your life was surrendered. My ambitions, I had ambitions. They were put under the water. I had desires under the water. As you know, even marriage, I said, under the water. It's not for me. If God gives it to me, he has raised me up and then gave it to me. He raised me up and gave it to me. So this is the reason why many people don't, it says here in verse 4, the last part, that we might walk in newness of life. Why is it so many Christians, even though they are born again, their sins are forgiven, Christ is their Savior, they still live like many other people in the world. Same ambitions, they watch the same useless movies. I mean dirty movies. There are Christians who watch pornography. Why is that? The young people who say they are born again, who are more interested in playing video games than in reading the Bible. Why is that? Is that how Jesus wants them to live? Something is missing in this Christianity. It is terribly missing. They have not accepted total death to self. And so they've missed out. They're in the kindergarten. Oh yes, they can read ABC. They say CAT is cat, BAT is bad, 2 plus 2 is 4. That all they know. 25 years later, they still get 100%, but they're getting 100% in the kindergarten.